Maldonado. I was born on June 6, 1942. My current address is 10117 Southeast Stanley. My telephone number is 654-5653. The best time to reach me is anywhere from 10 a.m. to 6 p.m. at my work number, which is 282-1460. I prefer not to be called at home. My height is 5 feet 9 inches. I weigh 170 to 175 most of the time. I've been married 10 years and we have no children. At present, I am a recreation instructor for the Portland Bureau of Parks and Recreation. I've been with them 15 years. Titles I've won are Mr. Portland, Mr. Oregon, Most Muscular in the Northwest, Mr. Pacific Coast, Mr. Western USA, second place in Junior Mr. America, and I have won Best Abdominals in Mr. America in 1970, 1971, and 1975. I was fifth in Mr. America in 1970. I was seventh in 1971 and 75. And I was sixth in my height class in 1977. My favorite pastime, other than weight training, is fishing. I spend a lot of time doing that out in the woods. I enjoy getting out with nature and being able to enjoy the fresh air and enjoy the creation that God has given us. I do catch a lot of fish, and part of my incentive also is that it provides first-class protein and food for me that's in about as natural a state as you can possibly obtain it. I also spend quite a bit of time studying the Bible, and my philosophies of life and the way I relate it to my bodybuilding are all tied up in that, or influenced by my Bible reading. I became interested in bodybuilding, or actually began it, when I graduated from high school, but my interest started as a young boy. I, right from the very beginning, always was aware of muscle and admired people that had it. However, I was extremely skinny myself, and it used to sort of bother me to see people that were built because it reminded me how insufficient I was. When I got into high school, I started doing push-ups. We were given our freshman year a fitness test, and I could only do 12 push-ups, and a friend of mine did 15, so I thought, I'm going to start working on that. And so after school, at nights, I'd go home, and for about 15 minutes, I'd start doing push-ups and, oh, a few chin-ups. And then my mother told me that she had seen Charles Atlas on What's My Line, and he had stated that if you tensed your muscles against each other, that this would make them grow. So I, just on my own, started inventing a way of doing this for each body part. And so I'd incorporate my push-ups and my dynamic tension together, and I invented ways of doing reverse dips off the banister up from the second floor of my mother's home, which I don't think she ever knew about. A lot of things like this. And then I worked with my dad on his produce truck, and I'd always practice lifting crates of celery with one arm up over my head. So all the time I was in high school, I was doing this sort of thing. On our lunch hours, we'd go out to the park, and I there practiced doing muscle-ups and chin-ups. And then I was inspired by a person by the, his name was Roger Cetera, and he was able to do a one-arm chin-up, and this just really inspired me. So I started working on that. First, I would just jump up on the bar and grab it, and then try to pull myself up. And by the time I was a sophomore, I could pull myself with a little bit of a jump into a one-arm chin-up. And I started working on both arms. By my junior year, I could do a good one-arm chin-up. In fact, I could do maybe two. By my senior year, I could do up to 7 one-arm chin-ups from an almost a dead hang and go up and come down again and back up. To this day, I can still do one-arm chin-ups. I can do one or two with each arm. Once my friends in high school couldn't help but notice that I was becoming developed because I started out being very skinny. However, what I did have was, that I wasn't aware of then, I had a good natural structure to start with, even though I was skinny. And as I stated, most everyone thought I was already lifting weights when I was a senior in high school. As I stated, that by the time I was a senior in high school, the kids all thought I was already lifting weights, and a lot of them suggested that I should go over to Leprenzi's gym and enter the Mr. Portland contest. So I did have this desire to bodybuild. I wanted to do it. I didn't know anything about competition, though, or bodybuilding, and I went over to Leprenzi's, and right away they saw me, and they said I was a natural, especially Joe's brother, Dave, and they were surprised at my tricep development and my abdominal development, and they told me if I'd train, I'd be Mr. Portland in 6 months. And so this wasn't what started me training. I trained because I've always, from the time I was a little kid, admired muscular development, and people that appeared physically fit. So this is what I wanted for myself. It, to this day, is my motivating factor in training. It's actually physical fitness, having a nice appearance, and being in good health, and having a feeling of confidence within myself. However, once I started bodybuilding, then contests became a motivating factor. I started training at Sam's in July of 1960, and I won the Mr. Portland contest about 6 months later, just as they said I would. I've been training since then. That's a total of 17 years. I have never taken a layoff, a willful layoff. I lost a little bit of time when I was in the service, and I had mononucleosis about 1963 as a result of training too hard and eating improperly and working and going to school and just plain not living as I should have, living immorally. All these things brought me to a low ebb in my life. And after that illness, then I had to stop and take a good look at myself and what I was doing. And slowly from that point on, my life started changing for the better. When I first started training at Leprenzi's, that was when I made the most radical gains. I went from a body weight of 150 pounds up to 165 in a period of, I'd say, 6 months, about 6 to 9 months. I made about an inch and a half gain on my arms and legs, and about a 3 to 4 inch gain in my chest. So I really did respond to the weights at first. But from then on, and to this day, my training has been, and gaining, has been very slow and just in little steps. And I would say that I am, at this point, and at any point when I competed, the sum total of everything I had done up to that point. I prefer training in a health studio, being that I work for the city of Portland and we have our own weightlifting facility. I do all my training here at the Matt Dishman Community Center at our weight room. But I do not have even a dumbbell at home, and I would not prefer to train at home. I like being surrounded by people when I train. I like the atmosphere of the gym, the fact that everyone there is there for the purpose of training and developing, and when you see other people training, it motivates you to train also. And at the gym, there's nothing else you can do. You're within this situation, and it causes you to do one thing, and that is train. At home, there's possibility of distractions and that type of thing. I find that I can train well either by myself or with a partner. There are certain exercises I enjoy doing with a partner, such as bench pressing and squatting, basically because of the motivation and having a spot. But other than that, I really can train either way. But at the present time, I do train with 1 to 2 partners. And I have most of my training career, mainly because people have always wanted to train with me. And so I will use one set of people for a while, and then when they burn out or get tired of it, I'll go to someone else. In regards to having injuries, my main problem has been shoulder injuries. From the very start of my training, I could tell that they're pressed behind the necks and certain other shoulder, mainly the press behind the neck was the exercise that gave me the most trouble. it would tend to make my shoulder start to get sore. And then after, oh, about 4 or 5 years of training, bench pressing would give me a little bit of problem. But I never had anything severe until I started doing an exercise called the flying circle. And this is where I would lay on a flat bench. I would take two dumbbells, and one dumbbell in each hand, and bring them back overhead, and then swing them around along my sides and bring them back up together. For some reason, I had, this seemed to be a natural exercise for me. I had a lot more strength in this exercise than most people had. And I worked up to the point where I could handle up to 60 pounds on that exercise. Most people would consider using 15 to 20. Well, one day, after not having done it for a while, I came in and I was just a minor warm-up, went right into some fairly heavy ones with about 50 pounds. And I felt sort of a sensation in my shoulder, but nothing that I could really put my finger on. It wasn't any sharp pain. But the next morning when I woke up, I could hardly lift my arm up to a shoulder level. And this injury caused me about 9 months' worth of grief. It took about 9 months before I could train to the point where I didn't feel that shoulder was interfering or holding me back. And then from that point on, I've had to watch that shoulder. Through the years, as I have learned more about training correctly and not going too heavy or pushing heavy all the time, I have eliminated injuries to a great deal. I feel that actually a person could almost totally eliminate injuries if he will train properly and not get into the heavyweight syndrome where you constantly every workout are trying to push your weights heavier and heavier. I do feel that you must go heavy to increase your size, but I think that a cycle that Russ Nipp has used in powerlifting is probably the best method to follow even in bodybuilding, and that is to go with a heavy workout followed by a very light workout, followed then by a medium workout, and then another heavy workout. And going through this type of system repetitively all the time. When I mentioned about exercises that I would use, you ask on your sheet here about frequently burning out or going stale on certain exercises. And I stated that I felt I was the sum total of everything that I have done. When I was younger and more inexperienced in training, I would try to stay with certain exercises that I felt to be good exercises or ones I knew produced good results. I would tend to stay with these exercises as long as I possibly could and carry them out for 2 or 3 or 4 months even. But I would always end up going stale, and I think at least a month or two of that last 2 months would be just maintaining or treading water. I wouldn't be increasing or actually gaining. I might even have been going backwards. And at this present time, I am convinced that a person should change his routine about every 6 weeks, no matter what it is, and that there is no best routine or best way. You asked about using the PHA system and all these other different systems. I don't condone or condemn either or any of these systems. I feel that they're all beneficial, that a person, if he's going to stay interested in bodybuilding, has got to incorporate as much variety into his training as he possibly can. I am going to give you a sheet which has the recorded or put down the routine that I followed for the 6 week period before the Mr. America contest this year for 1977 that I followed. And it will show you how I've incorporated a lot of variety within a given routine that I set up so that every workout is slightly different and on a slightly different day. And it keeps it interesting that way. But even this routine, as a whole, has to be completely changed for a whole new set of exercises and another routine after it becomes ineffective in about a 6 week period. So I, every 6 weeks, do change my routine if possible. I realize that there are certain exercises that are more effective than other exercises, and I always regret having to give up certain things. Squatting is an example. I feel that that's one of the best exercises that exists for maintaining body weight and strength and size. Whenever I'm able to do squats and do them effectively to where my body's responding because I'm not stale on them, I always am at my biggest and strongest. It causes all my other groups to increase also. Bench press is another one that I feel is extremely beneficial in keeping up size and strength. I always hate to let that go. Heavy dips with weight. I like to use anywhere from 70 to 120 pounds on dips for 10 to 12 reps. I find that when I'm doing those, I'm always at my biggest. Good old standing barbell curls. Actually, just the good old basic exercises, deadlifting, all these things seem to give me the best results. But you cannot stay with any of these exercises, or at least I can't, for more than about 6 weeks and obtain positive results. In regards to skin tone and this type of thing, I believe that that has to come from within. If your diet has got to be good, it should be balanced. I don't believe in these radical diets where you are on extremely high protein and low carbohydrate intakes. I know for a fact that they're harmful to your health, that they bring on colds, that they get your body out of balance. And if a person is going to maintain good health, he needs a moderate amount of proteins, carbohydrates, fats. These things should come from all the natural sources, such as fresh fruits, fresh vegetables, whole grains, whole seeds and nuts, some meat, fish, your eggs, and your dairy products. Good fat sources would be olive oil, avocados, cream, butter, sesame seed oil, these types of sources, wheat germ oil. I incorporate all these into my diet at varying times and varying amounts. I try not to overdo any one thing. In the past, when I first started bodybuilding, I did every harmful thing imaginable as far as diet goes. First, I was on the high protein syndrome. I used Hoffman's high protein powder till it was coming out of my ears. It practically replaced my regular food, and I know that that was one of the things that brought on my mononucleosis. I also was forcing in huge amounts of powdered skim milk because I knew or had been told it was high in protein, and using a lot of canned foods like tuna, which I feel is not very healthful. And when I was, and desiccated liver would be another thing. When you are putting large amounts of any of these proteins into your body, you eventually overburden your kidney and your livers, your kidneys and liver, so that you become very susceptible to viruses, colds, flu, and this sort of thing. Colds would be frequent when you're on a very high protein diet like that. However, if I'm getting ready for a contest, that would be the only time for maybe a 6 week period that I would up my protein intake to where I felt it was out of balance with the rest of my intake of other nutrients. And then the minute I'm through competing, I get right back into a very balanced diet again. But I'll state right now at this point in the interview that competitive bodybuilding is not a healthful endeavor or pursuit. I know this to be a fact through my own competing. I have never used drugs, but I feel that even just going to extremes in the intake of protein and this sort of thing causes problems in your health, especially in making you susceptible to colds and flu and this sort of thing. In regards to junk foods, I try to keep junk foods really down in my diet. I have most of my life. However, because I have a fairly high metabolism rate, I can get by with eating more junk food than probably other people could. One thing I have observed that will tend to smooth me out is a lot of ice cream. If I eat ice cream fairly regularly, I do seem to smooth out some, but I still never really lose my cuts. The basic pattern that I follow in my diet is that Monday through Friday, I eat very correctly and carefully. And then on the weekends, I will tend to go off of my diet some. On Saturday nights, I always have a nice pizza, although I tend to have mushroom and beef with fresh tomatoes on it, so even that isn't too terrible. I always make a trip to Baskin and Robbins, which is our local ice cream store around here. It has good quality ice cream, and I usually have 3 big scoops of that. And if I feel like having a hamburger Saturday afternoon, I might have 1 or 2 of those. On Sunday, sometimes my grandmother will invite us over for dinner, and I might have a big bowl of spaghetti and meatballs or something of that nature. I might even have some French bread. Sometimes I might even have a piece of pie, but I really have cut. I'm to the point where I don't like to ever eat cake or pie or any pastry type of thing. In fact, I have never eaten pastry except before I started training with weights. I just do not eat pastry. I feel that pastry and soda pop are probably the 2 most detrimental, harmful foods a person can put in his body. I know that sleep and rest are very important. If I go to bed at 10:30 every night, my body weight automatically starts going up even if I don't change anything else. If I go to bed past 12 o'clock and keep my total hours of sleep to around 6 or 7, I start losing weight. And it doesn't matter how much I eat, I will have difficulty keeping my weight up where I would like it. I feel very comfortable at 175, but if I start missing sleep, I'll go right down to 170. In regards to being married and holding a job and being a bodybuilder, I feel that I can maintain good physical condition. And this, I have to speak for myself. I don't know what others feel are necessary for them because of their varying metabolisms and so on. But 45 minutes to an hour, 4 times a week, will keep me in peak condition to where I would be no more than 1 month away from contest condition. I don't have to put in 2 workouts a day, 3 hours a workout to maintain a good, healthful appearance. But as far as your work goes, the person can usually, because most gyms are open anywhere from 9 in the morning till 10 at night, you can usually squeeze in an hour a day somewhere. So I don't feel that bodybuilding should dominate your life in any way, or I don't feel that it even has to, except when getting ready for a contest. For the period of time just prior to the meet, you do need more sleep than normal. You need to put in longer workouts, and this will definitely affect your job and your family life. However, if this is done just for a 1 month or 6 week period once a year, I think that your job and your wife can live with that. You can arrange maybe your vacation time around your training, or there's ways of getting around it. But I feel that there's no need for a person to have to give up his family and his job and everything else that's important in life for the sake of bodybuilding and having a good body. It can be done just by using common sense and moderation. I do not drink during workouts. I don't feel that I have no need to. I very seldom get thirsty while I'm training. I think that if a person does feel thirst, then he should drink water. Maybe under rare circumstances, a little bit of apple juice or orange juice might be okay. But basically, if you can just train without drinking anything, I think you're going to have better workouts. And I think putting anything into your system while you're training just slows you down. And I would also state that I would like to have at least 3 hours distance between the time I ate and the time that I train. Any type of food at all in your stomach is going to hinder and slow down your workout. As I mentioned before, I had mononucleosis for a period of 3 months in 1963, and so I couldn't train for a total of 3 months. When I went back to training, I found myself in a very weakened condition. I weighed about the same, but I had lost a lot of my muscle size, and it had been replaced with fat because I was required to just stay in bed during that time. The doctor gave me the idea that I was supposed to eat a lot or eat well, and I didn't have the nutritional knowledge I have now, and I was snacking on Cheez-It crackers and things like that while watching television, and I put on a lot of slop fat. And it took me about a year to get back into the kind of condition I was in prior to getting sick. Again, I want to state that I got sick. It didn't just happen to me. I brought it on myself. I brought it on by force feeding, by consuming large amounts of milk, by taking in too many protein supplements, by not living correctly. And I can state with all certainty that illness is brought on by sin, whether it's sinning against the direct laws that God's given us or sinning against the natural laws that He has put into our environment. But the more in tune that a person becomes with all these laws, the better health and better life he will have. For the bodybuilder getting into his first contest, I would say the most important thing is don't enter if you're too fat. You should definitely have yourself in good shape. You should feel confident about the way you look before you enter. And I would spend at least 3 months practicing your posing. In putting together a posing routine, I would look in the magazines and look at pictures of other bodybuilders, and you'll start getting a feeling or an idea of what posing should consist of, and then start putting or attempting to duplicate these poses and look at yourself, have your friends also look at you. You definitely need someone to view you and give you a commentary. And omit the ones you don't look good in and keep the ones you do look good in. You should put your routine together in such a way that there's a lot of motion in your routine. You should be moving from left side to right side, or at least to center. So if you hit one pose facing left, then sweep over and go into something from the right. And keep the routine moving like this, and it will be very interesting. There's nothing worse than a static routine where you just get in one position and go into three or four different poses. It's better to omit a pose than to have a mediocre pose in your routine. So it's better to have like five good ones than 10 that where some are good and some aren't. In regards to magazines, I enjoy reading Iron Man and Muscle Builder, but especially Iron Man. That is quite a magazine. I have, even at this point, I am always searching to see if I can find some new exercises that maybe someone is doing somewhere else that we aren't doing in our own gym. Just recently, for example, I found an exercise that Betrel Fox is doing for triceps with a bar behind his back on the lat machine. And we have been doing a similar exercise on a bar like that, but using the lat machine, we got a different feeling, and I find it to be very effective. I also enjoy just looking at the pictures and seeing how the other bodybuilders are doing, and I look mostly, though, for the nutritional articles. Those are of the utmost interest to me. I'm constantly interested in nutritional findings and medical advancements and developments related to bodybuilding and just related to general health. In regards to steroids and thyroid extracts and all these types of things, as I stated earlier, I have never used them myself. I never would use them, and I feel that anyone that is using these particular items has lost touch with reality. He is so into ego and needing some type of positive reinforcement for the bolstering of his image of himself, or to fulfill something that's lacking, that he is willing to take a risk and to use something that is known to be detrimental to your health. It's known to be harmful to your liver. It's known that these things are bad for you. So anyone who will put his life in jeopardy by taking such things, I feel, has a real problem in his concept of life. He has not viewed life correctly, and at the present time he is in total darkness. I don't mean to be saying these things for the sake of running down bodybuilders that use them, but as I stated, I won't use them myself, and I feel that, especially after coming away from the 1977 Mr. America contest, that they are necessary if you are going to compete in the top caliber competitions, because you cannot get your body weight up to the point and the size that is needed to compete with these people that are using the drugs. I was truly amazed at the size and the development that these people had. They, you know, here I've been in bodybuilding 17 years, and yet as I viewed these people, I felt almost like a beginner must feel when he first walks into a gym. When I saw people like Robbie Robinson and Dr. Smith, and who in 1975 competed in Mr. America with me and didn't even make the top 20, and now he's one of the top contenders. I just couldn't help but be amazed at the change in these people in such a short period of time. And, you know, I'm not saying these people use drugs, because I don't